taking us right into Brewocracy now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. My name is Tim Quackenbush, and we do this every week. And you know the drill. You can always email me at dj@kptz.org. If you'd like to ask a question about anything Port Townsend of our city manager, who is in his spot high above the city complex and nervously, I must say, looking out the, the window because, well, you tell us what's going on out there, John.
Well, look, it's great to see you, Tim. I'm glued to my personal cell phone looking at the Washington 360 tracker because at this very moment, you can see it on the screen here if you're on the Zoom call. At this very moment, there are watercraft arriving back in town after the launch. I believe it was Monday at 6 a.m. I was standing around watching the boats take off, and they've made four checkpoints and they're coming back. And I've got Jake Beattie texting me, and I'm thinking that maybe it'd be fun for him to call into the show and give a live update from the action. So I'm new to this town, and I can't be more excited about this surge of local events that are returning back to Port Townsend.
Oh, I think it's great. And well, since you have that lifeline to the to Jake Beattie, I think that you should break in whenever you get a live update for the audience. Just let us know where we're coming, because this is it, right? This is the end of the race.
Yeah, it's the end of the race, and I'm not pretending I'm at all a Mariner here, but although I did grow up in Maine and I really enjoy being on the water, but I'm pretty much a hack. There's some pretty elite and colorful racers out there, three different categories of boats, and it's all coming to a head right about now. You can actually see crowds, people walking toward the waterfront. It's super cool. And, I cut your losses on this broadcast. Sorry to, downplay the significance of this time with me, but go check it out. In fact, here's Jake Beattie right now. Hey, Jake, you're live on KPTZ.
Fantastic. I feel more famous.
Jake, what's happening down there? What's happening down with the Washington 360? I feel like it's coming right to a finish line about right now.
I mean, we are getting down to the last mile or two of this 360-mile race with a team from Montana, like, against all odds, working its way through the pack overnight this morning. And I think they're going to take Team High Seas Drifters.
Wow. Wow. What does that mean for our local crews here?
Well, they're going to lose.
They don't get the belt.
They don't get the belt. Well, yeah, it's been a pretty impressive thing. It's mostly been a bike race. All these sailboats have mostly been biking around the San Juans. I mean, I think they got maybe one day of sailing out of the last three. But so there's going to be some tired people.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's been an unusual week without a lot of wind here. Is that, how does this stack up against the race to Alaska, which is usually, this week, and this is its new creative stepchild?
Well, so there's been no wind anywhere. There was no wind in South Sound. There was no wind when they made their way north. There was no wind. I mean, they got a little bit of wind here and there, but which is, we've had Race to Alaska years like that where it's been flat for, 4 or 5 days. But usually there's, you at least get a, some sort of weather system moving through. This one had a squall that, gusted down, and there was, 30 to 40 knot gusts down by the Tacoma Narrows. But other than that, it's been flat.
Mm. Yeah, brutal.
Well, the kayakers were winning until like last night around 6 p.m., which is absolutely should never happen.
It is incredible. Well, I know in my office, I'm here talking with Tim Quackenbush at KPTZ, but I see throngs of people heading down toward the water. And it's pretty exciting to have something coming back to life here in Port Townsend. So, any final words from, here we have the executive director of the Northwest Maritime Center on the line as his race is finishing right now.
No, I think it will be fun to watch him come across, and there'll be multiple teams crossing in the next 2 or 3 hours, I'd say, including, past Race to Alaska champions, Team Sail Like a Girl, and they're all women crew. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great chance to welcome some pretty incredible people across the line.
Awesome. Well, Jake, get back to the action. If you can, track it on your phone, because you can see them coming in. Thanks so much, and thanks for making a quick appearance here.
Thanks for having me, John.
All right.
Have a good one.
See you, Jake.
Bye. Play-by-play by Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. You know, John, we started doing the high school football games. You might think about a second career. You know, you'd be good up in that booth.
I'm just excited. I mean, I'll admit that Jake's a friend, so I can kind of ask him for kind of a, hey, can you just quickly call in? But I mean, I really feel like this is one of the major reasons I'm here in this community, is that there's so much vitality and vibrancy and creativity. And, you know, this new race is just an embodiment of that. Just like when we welcome music back, when we welcome theater back, when we have festivals back, and it's part of why people love this place. So anyway, it sounds like those who are listening, go get a bite to eat at a local establishment in town and walk to the waterfront and welcome back some of these boats coming in.
Good idea. And and did he say Montana? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of, I mean, I'm not aware of a whole lot of sailing that's available in Montana, so good on him. My goodness.
Yeah, man, you never know what's going to happen in this town where you have a team from Montana winning the, what did you say, the belt? The belt's knives. Yeah.
They get like a wrestler kind of belt. I think that's the main prize. So, look, I'm learning all this stuff too myself. So, you know.
Well, there you have it. Make your way downtown. Start enjoying being outside in Port Townsend. I know I am. On to other subjects. I was kind of prepared for the fire chief today, but maybe sometime in the future we can have. I'm sure he's a busy man.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry about that. I mentioned it to Chief Black, and he's very excited to come and spend some time. He's a busy man. You're right. He's often called away on responses, and I think if we could try to plan maybe next week or the week after, we can welcome him here. So apologies for those who are expecting to listen to Brett Black.
Well, that's okay. We will have him on some other time. I was interested, when I pulled up his bio, Brett Black, and when you have a name like Quackenbush, you have a certain amount of name envy. That's real cowboy stuff right there, Brett Black. So sometime in the future.
Oh yeah, Chief Black. I mean, it's yeah. I think it says it all right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll just say to kind of warm up the listening audience. I mean, Brett's fantastic. I've really, really enjoyed getting to know him the last few months. We get together regularly. As some of you might know, the city used to have a fire department. So previously, there was a fire chief that reported to the city manager. After the annexation into East Jefferson Fire and Rescue, that was no longer the case. And so the city's been transitioning into that more regional approach. And so, you know, immediately after his hire, that to me is a very important relationship. And we've got on really well. And I know he's also been establishing a really strong relationship with Chief Tom Olson and the police chief for obvious reasons. So, I'm excited to have him on the show sometime very soon.
Okay, good. I do have a question, and this is from Carla, and she sent this to me at dj@kptz.org, and you can also. This one is short, but to the point.
Yeah.
She says, what did you learn from your visit to the tiny house construction site? What surprised you? What inspired you?
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I mentioned this before on I think last week or the week before his broadcast. I went down to the construction site where there are wooden emergency housing units being constructed. I'm going to stay away from tiny homes because I think tiny homes are a slightly different thing. These are non to code, although they're fantastically built. They're not built to code and they're emergency shelters. So they're not something you could rent out in your backyard or anything like that. So, I guess I'll just be like I try to be all the time, pretty honest. I was actually quite nervous at first that there wasn't an end game to where these structures were going to be located. And so there's a tremendous amount of, what I was inspired by was how the community can come together and do something tangible and truly excellent in the spirit of serving others. These units, I mean, I walked through some of them. They're really, really well built by people who have been in the business for a long time. building high quality structures. And it's all volunteer time and effort. And they've been fundraising for materials, and you can imagine that materials are costly now. So, you know, look, it's just been awesome to watch. And I think now that the city's, we've got a process going for, you know, an application of where we might actually site something like this. The county has figured that out at South 7 with a small community of these emergency wooden structures. We're going through the process of doing that too. And working, you know, through that. So I'm more encouraged now that there's an end game for where these can be located, how providers will be wrapping services around a location, and how we work together to help shelter our homeless population and underserved population. This isn't the silver bullet because, you know, there's so much that needs to happen in this space for housing at all different levels of housing, but it certainly is a really heartwarming step that, you know, is all community owned and really driven by some very visionary volunteers. So I was just inspired by the energy. I sat around a outdoor circle of about 25 people who have dedicated their time, some people coming in from SQIM every day to help. And it was just, you know, that kind of community energy is inspiring.
Yes, it is. So thank you for that answer, John Morrow. I do have another one. And of course, this is on an issue that if you monitor social media at all, which I don't know how that fits into your schedule, but it is out there. And I'll just read it verbatim for you. This is concerning Commissioner Brotherton's proposal regarding the movement of homeless at the fairground. And what this says is to a site, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time seeing this, to a site, well, off of Cape George Road, the question is, presently no water or power, bathrooms, or public transportation at proposed site. Are you in support of this proposal? And have the commissioners spoken with the residents nearby the site?
So I will do my best to answer what I know, and I'll be very honest here too. I don't know everything. So this is a developing story. Mm-hmm. But look, I think it's fair to say that the challenge that we've had, particularly during COVID, that has been met by, you know, an imperfect solution at the fairgrounds. There's an expectation that the governor will lift the eviction moratorium, and that there'll be really a need for that fairgrounds temporary situation to come to an end. So I think that's what's motivating Commissioner Brotherton, although I think I'd welcome you to reach out directly to him and hear his perspective, because he's articulate and has great ideas, and is trying to solve a problem that's really, you know, it's very complex. So what I know is that there is a site in the county that they're currently investigating, and the comment is correct, or the question is correct. It's not currently served by water or sewer, although I understand that there's some efforts underway to supply potable water and to supply porta potties, and actually provide some degree of access to showers in town, in Port Townsend. I think Olicap is trying to work through how to make the shelter available for that, for drop-ins. So it's really an evolving idea that's, again, imperfect and temporary. But the spirit is, you know, people need a place to exist. And so, you know, I don't know the answer whether the local residents have been, involved at all. That would, you know, need to be the county initiating that. So, you know, that's a good one to pass on. I'll do that. But look, this is, again, not just like the community build project. It's not going to be the answer. But it will provide some temporary relief while we continue to try to find answers to the problem of housing and homelessness in town.
Well, and I think temporary relief is welcome at this point. It's a complicated issue, and I'm sure that we will be revisiting this at some point, because, and I have to put this out there, I just got a question that basically was a question for me, I think, and it says that it's a listener that's been listening for a while, and he says that I encourage listeners to send in questions, but I can't recall when you've used the listener's question. And the fact is, I do I do get to these questions. There have been times when questions have been emailed to me within the past couple minutes of the show. If they are on a topic that, such as homelessness, that would not give justice to the person to answer in 2 minutes, then I put it off for next week. But yes, the questions have been posed from the public, but there's two things to remember. One is I get fewer questions than you might think. And the other is that, and I got this from Phil Andrus, who did a 4-hour show every week, and he told me that he's the only person that listens to all of his show. So it's not surprising to me that some of those might be missed by a listener. But I do encourage them. They help me out. And in fact, the way that this show is, the purpose of this show is for comment from the public. And I'm really just a moderator. So questions from the public are what I live for. So please remember to send them in. It takes me off the hook. And John Morrow has been very upfront and I think very gracious in answering these questions, no matter how difficult. So there's my little bit of editorial.
Yeah, and Tim, I hope we continue this as we kind of move through the end of hopefully the pandemic and resume kind of more normal activities. But I look forward to re-engaging people directly with coffee meetings like I did before the pandemic, so that there are multiple channels for people to just have a discussion. And I feel like this is fun because I enjoy talking with you and we handle questions and themes that come from the community, but it's not exactly two-way with those who are asking questions. So I understand the question you just got and the, you know, maybe the frustration of not being able to engage in dialogue. I can't wait to do that again.
Oh, and I can't wait to have you live in the studio, because the dynamics of doing an interview show over Zoom limit your ability to break in and say, I just have a question from the public.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to do.
Yeah,
we make it work. Yes. But still fun, John, I must say. And I enjoy it every week. There are other things going on in town. The Creative District, we have art pieces going in around town. Signs of life popping up.
Yeah. I mean, Jonah Tropel's sculptures are going to be unveiled on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 15th. You know, it was an awesome collaboration. I think there was a Arts Commission grant from the state and, you know, it's the Creative District and PT Main Street and, you know, just a number of organizations coming together. You know, libraries played a pretty big role. They're really fun. I mean, they're striking and there's a story associated in each of those sites as the very, particularly entertaining today, Charlie Burmant said, you know, there will be, people, including myself at one of the sites, during the unveiling, for conversation and description and, kind of tell a story. So, be aware, there are really interesting art markers around town that tell a bit of the story of this place.
Yes, there are. And I am very lucky because I did get another question and I do have time to ask it of you in the 5 minutes that we have left. This one from Kelly. Any possibility that there are some plans in the works for children's and youth spaces? Oh, I don't know what that is. Roller rinks, bowling alleys, etc. I think it would go a long way toward keeping children out of trouble. Something to do and a place to have fun, but not using substances. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, I'll refer back to Mr. Burmant too and say his long description of substances is a little bit, it challenges that question a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, look, I think that's a really great question because it's an identity question about who are we? And I know we're changing. I changed when I moved into town. I was a new person and that happens quite frequently here. So, you know, we're changing and we're aging and we're developing and, you know, we're not a stagnant place. But I think there's a question increasingly about, well, what are we going to be? And I know that if you look at our comp plan or a strategic plan, or if you talk to folks in town who are thinking, you know, 10 or 20 years out, they're necessarily thinking about families or about young people. because you know, we've got this great set of talents from people who are retired, who have great life experience, and what an awesome opportunity to use that to shape an amazing community. But if that's all we have, then that will flicker out at some point. So I think an age diverse community is important, and I think the city does play a role at ensuring that there's something here for everybody. So some of that's way outside the city scope in terms of events, and you know, Washington 360. I mean, how fun that event actually lands right now in our town. Probably draws a variety of ages, but I think the city is going to be sizing this up. I'll signal that next year is going to be a year we really want to dig into this, because we've got a couple of things coming together, particularly the golf course future. I know that we talked about that and there was a decision made, but there's a large piece of municipally owned real estate there with a big question mark on it. And I don't have any particular opinion about what it should be used for. I'd like us to have a community conversation about where we want to get to. And if it's more children and youth spaces, well, let's bring that into that conversation. Same thing with Mountain View Campus. That has an opportunity to really develop it into a hub for activity. And I'd say the same thing with a real call for an aquatic center. I mean, we've had to close our pool after getting staff up, after training lifeguards, because a part broke. And it's still being shipped up here. And we've been expressing it. We've been trying to work as fast as we can to get it here. But, you know, those are things that are not sustainable. So what's the future for our aquatic facilities here? Those are the kinds of things I'm hearing in that listener's question. And I think 2022, when we're back and able to talk together in person, is going to be the year to really make some progress on that. So please stay tuned.
And you know, that's really the kind of question I really like to receive, because it's thought provoking. I walk down the street every Halloween and I see all these kids and I'm like, where are you all the rest of the year? And it is thought provoking that perhaps we do need some more youth oriented places. Good question. Thank you.
I mean, I'm excited too, because there's so many organizations that play a role in this space that we could be working with. I mean, not just like, you know, city and county, which we will, but I'm excited on Friday. I'm going to have my first, you know, live conversation over coffee with our incoming school superintendent, you know, Linda Rosenberry. And I mean, we're thrilled that someone of that caliber is joining this community to steward the school district. What exciting conversations can we have about how to, you know, even further nurture an existing great relationship we have with the school district. You see it in our school resource officer and our police team. You see it in our agreement with the library. You know, there's we're leasing Mountain View from the school district. I mean, there's so many opportunities to talk about children and young people with organizations like the Port Townsend School District. So I'm really excited for that.
As am I. So thank you. And thank you so much for the questions. And keep it in mind, we do this every week. I love questions. John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, thank you so much I hope you haven't missed the first boat coming in.
I have a meeting in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I might try to run over and see it real quick. I just got a text from my wife that has the picture of it. So at least I have that.
Look, you're the city manager. What are you going to do? The police chief going to go get you? Take care, right, John. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Well, you've been listening to Brewocracy now on KPTZ in Port Townsend. Coming up,